the Autism Hope Library. I have a very, very special guest today. If you haven't seen him in past interviews, definitely go back into the library and watch them because they're just absolutely fantastic. But today we have Joe Carr, and we're going to be talking about the products at his company. We're going to be talking about what he does for our entire community and why he is so passionate about our community. So welcome, Joe. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks. It's so great to be here.
Well, I just think the world of you. I think the world of what you're doing with your company. I think your daughter, we were just talking before we went on air, that your daughter is like the cutest thing. She's in the background there if you guys can't see, but she is the poster child for his company. Him and his wife have started this amazing, amazing company. I know technically it's baby food, but let's talk a little bit about what your company is. And why I don't think it's just baby food. So go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, you know, my wife Serenity and I both had a lot of food issues. You know, me being an autistic person had lots of food sensitivities. And then she had really severe gut challenges, over antibiotic, you know, too much antibiotics killed her gut. She was a sugar addict, lots of processed food. So we had really changed our diets and changed the way we live based on food. So when we started planning to have a baby, we went looking for baby foods, and we're really frustrated with the usual very, very sugary fruit purees that most people call baby food, and also the kind of grain-based snacks that's basically sugar and grain was the only thing on the baby aisle. We didn't eat either of those things because we knew it was not good for us. So we created this new kind of product there, you know, pureed foods in pouches. So yes, they're technically baby food, but anybody can eat a puree. People eat butternut squash soup or, you know, mashed potatoes. I mean, those are purees. So it's the same idea. We took the most nutritious ingredients we could find, which were the best sourced meats, pasture raised, small family farm, grass fed, you know, really, really well raised meats. Organic vegetables, and then healthy fats like avocado and olive oil, and make these nice combinations of meat, veggies, and fats in a puree that's balanced taste-wise as well. Tastes really good and is really delicious. So here, I'll grab one. For instance, we have our grass-fed beef with sweet potato and kale. Right. So very simple. You might order a fancy meal, grass-fed beef steak with sweet potato and kale. Right. But instead we, you know, puree all into a shelf-stable pouch. So it tastes super great, you know, really easy for a baby to eat who doesn't have teeth, or really anybody who just wants a fast boost of calories, or a kid that has food sensitivities or, picky eating issues. Like if they have texture issues, which a lot of kids with eating issues have trouble with meat because it's so like chewy and hard to eat, or you have to cut it with a knife, you know, which requires like the tactile issue. So a lot of families, whether they're autistic or whatever, often feed these to their kids at, you know, older and older ages for those reasons. And there's no reason not to. The ingredients are super nutritious, really great. Nutrient dense products that taste good to really anybody. We have the signature line of meats. We also have a line of veggies that are really just like veggies and fat. So this is our sweet potato and spinach with avocado oil. You know, so we have a whole line of these that are veggie fat mixtures. So if for some reason meat isn't the thing in that moment, or they work great as a side dish. And then we also have a line of our toddler purees with bone broth. And so these are actually the best for an older kid because they have meat, veggies, bone broth, and herbs. So these are flavored. These are beef pot roast. We have other delicious flavors like turmeric chicken and turkey bolognese that are much more rich, complex flavors and even more nutrition because they contain bone broth, which of course has a lot of nutrient boosting things. And we just launched our puffs. I don't have one of those to show you. We have a grain-free puff snack that just came out. That's a really nice, crunchy snack that is made from cassava flour, vegetables, and bone broth. So no rice, no grains, no junk. You know, it's sprayed with olive oil, so it's got 1 gram of fat, 1 gram of protein per serving. So they're really great, like, you know.
Where can you get those? Where are they in the stores?
They're on our website and Whole Foods nationally and about to be national, a bunch of other stores.
Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, I'm still having to get some of those. Okay, that's exciting. And you guys can heat these up. So, you know, So I know because I've taken them and we've put them in soups and we have them in our earthquake kit. I was telling you before we got on camera, I'm in California. It's a great thing to have. If you do travel, when we're allowed to travel again, they're great to travel with. And so again, it's not just about, it's not baby food. To me, it really is just a parade version of just so many yummy and amazing things. You know, as moms, we hear about every diet under the sun, right? Like we're always talking about diets. Yeah. We've all heard of the bone broth diet. When you're looking at your beef pot, I think it's the pot roast one with the bone broth. I mean, guys, this is like a no-brainer. So I love it. And again, your baby in the background, that is his spokesmodel. She's so darn cute. You just want to pinch her cheeks. She's so adorable. So so I'm excited because not only do you have just great products, I wish my son is 18. So I wish when he was a baby that there was foods like this. We were trying our best to make them ourselves. Nothing compares to what you guys came up with, though. But you mentioned that, you know, you are on the spectrum, and I know we've done interviews. So, again, if people are watching and you haven't seen Joe's interviews in the past, definitely go back and watch those. But can you talk about, you know, a little bit about your experience of, you know, why the food's so important to you? Do you have issues with, you know, food sensitivities? You touched a little bit that your wife did. Is that why this whole came about?
Totally. Yeah, you know, I had a very difficult childhood. I was not diagnosed autistic as a kid. They didn't know, you know, I didn't fit the stereotype of the usual Asperger's kid, you know, the stereotypes that they're very quiet and introverted and sciencey. And I was very loud and extroverted and artistic, very creative and very social. And so they didn't know what was wrong with me. They called me ADHD, which of course wasn't accurate, so it didn't help. And I think my official diagnosis was obnoxious. I was just considered obnoxious. So it was difficult socially, but a lot of that was aggravated by food, which my mom actually figured out pretty early. You know, they learned stuff about red dyes and sugar. They figured out pretty early. Later in life, we had learned about gluten and dairy and grains in general, you know, processed foods and processing agents. I was always very sensitive to things like MSG or sulfites, would give me migraines. So I was getting migraines. I was overweight. I had a lot of stomach pain and, of course, a ton of like anxiety and social stuff that was aggravated by social issues. And then the food and the social would, you know, I would eat. I was a kind of emotional eater. So I was like living on nachos and canned ravioli. That was like what I ate. It was like ravioli and nachos, which is like gluten and dairy and processed foods. And, you know, it was just like not the right foods for me. So it was just like making it worse and worse. You know, I had a revolution at age seven or sorry, at, in seventh grade when a semi-popular girl took me under her wing and decided to teach me how to be cool. And I was like, I'll do whatever you say. I'm ready to be cool. And it worked. I was able to take feedback and become better and started me on this personal growth track of like, how can I constantly improve myself? How do I seek feedback? And then eventually I got diagnosed with autism in college. That was a whole nother, you know, access to resources around like, oh, I can learn more about myself. And so food became a piece of that, like how I can change my diet, how I can optimize my system, cut out the inflammatory foods, create more stability, through food, you know, as well as other tools like supplements and acupuncture and chiropractic and, you know, different kinds of, you know, meditation and mindfulness practice are kind of all work together. But my wife Serenity had a ton of food issues. And so she had, gotten really into the paleo diet. She cured herself by cutting out all the foods that, you know, weren't part of the original human diet. So really looking at really well-sourced meats, good veggies, good fats. And so she introduced me to that and basically fell in love with her and fell in love with paleo at the same time. And we set off on that food journey, which, you know, led to the creation of the company.
Well, now, how do your products benefit those on the autism spectrum and the families of those on the autism spectrum?
Yeah, so the products themselves are super useful for any picky eater or any kind of food issues. We don't use any of the top 8 allergens. Other than one of our products is a wild-caught salmon product, and that has salmon. So there's fish in that one, but the rest are all completely allergen-free. We're very careful with segregation protocols at our factory and making sure that, you know, common allergens, which are very frequent for autistic people because we're so sensitive. And then we'd also just avoid those inflammatory foods that maybe they're not allergic to rice, but like rice is just not that great a food. Like it can be inflammatory. It can cause a insulin spike. It can be contaminated with heavy metals, which we're super sensitive to. So the level of care we put into our ingredients and the cleanliness of our products is really helpful to the autistic system so that it can, when they eat it, they, you know, can feel more balanced. It's super convenient. So the busy mom that's got a million things to do, like, you know, it's shelf stable, it's easy. They can feed themselves regardless, you know, even babies as young as like 8 months old can hold this and feed themselves. So, you know, it makes it easier on parents. And then we, you know, participate as a company as much as we can in autistic friendly work environment and participating in things like the, you know, Autism Hope Alliance and supporting, you know, we donate our products to, you know, autistic families all over the country through you guys. And I'm always looking for ways that we can help out.
Well, I know at the Autism Hope Alliance, we love having you as a partner, and it's just been such a great collaboration. And yeah, again, I'm a huge fan of your products. So what is the best way to use your products for kids with food sensory issues and or food sensitivities? I know that you touched on, you know, the ingredients that are in there, but what are some other ways that, you know, they help benefit?
Yeah, so the pouches and the pups can be eaten just as they are, you know, so that's one way is just feed it to them or in a, you know, it's probably for an older child, not quite a meal, you know, it's 5 grams of protein, 5 grams of fat. So it's a great snack or supplement to a meal or multiple of them could be a meal. But you can also mix it with other stuff. You can put this on pasta as like a pasta sauce. You can mix it into a soup. You can mix it into like a pancake mix. We love the grain-free Birch Benders pancakes. So we mix meat pouches in with the pancakes and a little bit of collagen powder, make these like veggie protein pancakes. So, you know, you can, we have all kinds of different recipes on our website for how to use the pouches in different ways, as well as the pups. You can crumble the pups up as like a salad topping or, you know, as a mac and cheese crispy thing or sprinkle them on pizza. So lots of different creative ways to use the product if they don't want to eat it straight out of the pouch.
And so you talked about your company, you know, really helping those on the autism spectrum. How is your company inclusive of neurodiverse people?
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a lot of trouble in the work environment, similar at school, you know, school, church, work, anything with like narrow structures, I had a hard time with because as an autistic person, I'm outside the box. I'm breaking any barrier I come up against. It's like I intuitively need to tear it down. And a lot of bosses don't like that, you know, and I also like, I'm very honest. I say what I think and people aren't usually used to really frank communication. And I have lots of ideas. I always want to change and improve things. And a lot of bosses don't like that. They're like, you know, just stay in your lane, you know, don't rock the boat, just do your thing. And so I was fired from a lot of jobs, mostly for trying to make them better. Trying to, you know, sort of speaking to talking too much, just speaking up too loud, rocking the boat, trying to fix things, trying to improve things, pushing boundaries. Or also social challenges where like I didn't get along well with coworkers because they either didn't understand me or like I didn't understand them and like, you know, ran over their feelings or whatever. So in creating my own company of Serenity, and I really set out to create the kind of workplace we'd want to work at. You know, she worked for Fortune 500 companies, so she was, you know, worse than me in terms of like structure and rigmarole. And so we were like, let's create a company culture that's fun, that's inclusive, that's connected, that recognizes everybody as people. We're not robots here just doing our jobs. We're people with dynamic feelings and needs. And we spend more time with our coworkers than even our families most of the time. So, you know, really, how do we figure out how to create an environment where feelings are welcome, where conflict is addressed easily and head on? You know, there is no avoiding conflict. I mean, people are going to step on each other's toes in a close in the environment, especially in a fast paced startup like we're running. People are doing all kinds of new stuff they've never done before. Mistakes are made. Feelings are hurt, whatever. So like really, we worked really hard to create a company culture that encourages people to speak up, encourages people to ask for help, encourages people to be themselves and be welcomed and seen for that. And then we brought in a lot of resources. We have a really amazing executive coach. Actually, our first VP was a VP of culture. So a vice president of culture was our very first executive hire was someone that our our executive coach who came on to help lead the whole company on creating this really loving, inclusive environment. We brought in a variety of consultants to look at our diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives to make sure that people are included, whether it's race or religion or background or ability, that people are, you know, feeling included and welcome here. And just really seeking out the best people for each job and really trying to look past any kind of biases we have. And, you know, really looking for people who just want to perform well, who want to do awesome at the job, who are willing to participate in a connected cultural environment of Serenity Kids, but they don't have to, doesn't have to look any certain way. So, you know, I feel more safe here than any other company I have. I guess it's my company, so it's easy, but our, you know, 25 or so employees all will tell you how much they love working here, how connected they feel to everyone, how included and safe they are. And we feel like that's the kind of environment for anybody of any kind of brain wiring, neurodivergent or otherwise, can feel safe as long as they know that they're accepted for who they are and that their work and their performance speaks for itself, and that they're allowed to speak their truth, they're allowed to ask for help, and just a kind of a judgment-free zone.
Well, how does your company then help create a more neuro-inclusive world? Because it sounds like you have your little bubble and great world there, but how do you bring that to the bigger picture, I guess?
Totally. I mean, you know, there's a lot of eyes on us. We are now the we're the fastest selling baby food in all natural food stores, right? We're the fastest growing baby food in the country in all of grocery. You know, so we are skyrocketed in growth. We're an enormous amount of attention on us. So every time people, you know, so we're getting coverage by media, we're getting talked to by lots of investors, other food entrepreneurs are asking us for advice. So we take that opportunity to really talk about our culture and how we've created an inclusive culture. And then I talk about autism as much as I can. I talk about the fact that I'm here because of autism. You know, my autistic brain allowed me to think outside the box, to have this big energy, to create this company culture that's so inclusive, you know, all of which has been really key to our success. Not to mention the food sensitivities from the beginning, or why we created food that doesn't have, you know, allergens and inflammatory ingredients. So just really talking about autism a lot. You know, we publish it in all of our materials, the fact that I'm autistic. We publish a lot of like blogs and videos and other resources. Love to participate with people like, you know, Autism Hope Alliance, where we can spread the message that way. So just always looking for ways to do it. And we just believe it's everybody's job. It's not just autistic people's job to make a place for us in the world. It's everybody's job to make a place for everyone and be better for it. You know, we think that the world has a lot to gain from autistic people's contribution, and they're missing out by, you know, keeping it in this narrow, exclusive way that they miss out too. And so we think that any world that's safe and inclusive of an autistic people is actually better for everyone.
Well, and I know people can find you on your website. You guys will see the website here at the bottom of your screen. But those that are listening on our podcast right now, can you let them know your website?
Absolutely. Our website is myserenitykids.com. We're also on Amazon. If you search Serenity Kids Baby Food or on Instagram and Facebook, you go, you know, hashtag myserenitykids. So pretty easy to find us. I also have a personal website called aspiepower.com, where you can read more about my journey with autism and, you know, see, you know, kind of some of the resources that I offer there.
Well, for the moms and the dads and the caretakers out there and caregivers, right? So you can have a caretaker, a caregiver, a mom, a dad, I don't care what you call it. Anyone that's loving you right now and wanting you to be the best version of you, you know, often sometimes as a caregiver myself for my son, you sometimes feel, you know, a little lost. You don't know all the answers, and we're always trying to do our best. But what message can you give to those amazing people out there trying to help, you know, those on the spectrum be the best version of them?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great question. You know, as a new parent, you know, I could tell you all parents have some experience of that, like what do I do? I want to be the best parent. How do I figure it out? So just a normal experience for any parent to go through. So you're definitely not alone. The parent of autistic kid, you know, there's a lot of very unique challenges that even parenting resources, traditional parenting resources don't address. So, first is staying out of any kind of shame, because shame is just the enemy. Like, it just doesn't help. You shaming yourself, you shaming your child. You know, there's shame all over the world. People are going to shame you. People are going to shame your child. It's going to happen. So try to like keep it a shame-free zone, which really does start with yourself. Like, you feeling guilty or feeling shamed about mistakes you make or stuff that resources you have or don't have. Like, parenting is super hard. Like, I apologize to my daughter on an almost daily basis for stuff that I mess up, because we're just figuring out as we go along. So really trying to avoid the shame and also looking for schools or therapists or institutions that are shame-free, that are like really like allowing your kid to be their full self and really like express their full autistic individuality. Doesn't mean that there aren't great resources for how to learn how to be in a non-autistic world, you know, because it is a world that is not, you know, run by autistic people. So we've got to learn how to live in that world, but we also want to be sure that we're not shaming or limiting the autistic inner world or the autistic pieces as well. I sort of think of it like being bilingual. You know, if you want to teach a kid, to speak non-autistic, that's probably really great because they live in a primarily non-autistic world, but you don't want to have them lose their native language in the process. So really letting them, really cultivating the things that make them really, really special, and seeing autism as much a gift as it is a challenge. There's, you know, one of the biggest things that makes autism unique is that all these things that we're challenged by have a flip side. There's all these things that we're exceptionally good at. So we actually balance out to be basically just as competent and smart and, you know, have as much to offer as a non-autistic person. But it's just unbalanced. Like, there's areas where we're really, really good and areas that are really big challenges. So really emphasizing those positive areas. My mom really fed my performing arts ability. Like, that was where I shined, was on stage. I could sing and dance and, you know, I can memorize lines and memorize songs like that. Like, that was like my thing. Like, I don't remember the person's name I met 10 minutes ago or anybody's birthday, you know, but like I can hear a song once and sing it back, you know. So it's just there, you know, the figuring that out and feeding that was what really helped me feel empowered. So really letting your autistic kid, you know, focus on the things they love and get better and better at those, because our society actually needs specialists. It doesn't need generalists. The most wealthy and influential people were really, really, really good at one thing. And our society and school system doesn't realize that yet. They keep trying to teach everybody to be a little bit of good at everything. And that doesn't actually work. So autistic people have a unique ability to focus on one thing and become awesome at it. And that's actually, there's a lot of opportunity for us to succeed in life if that's rewarded. If instead of feeling ashamed that I'm bad at math, I can feel excited that I'm so good with, you know, spoken word. You know, I can go on to essentially raise investment dollars and be the spokesperson for the fastest growing baby food company and, you know, be a speaker and educator for people with autism, you know, because that was what I was really, really good at. And then I can do things like marry somebody who's really good at details and math and organization and, you know, that she's, you know, really good at those things and we balance each other out.
I love it. You're so inspiring. And I always love talking to you. I look forward to, we were saying this before we went on air, you know, where we could see each other in person again. And obviously with COVID, it's hard. But every single time I talk to you, every single time I see you, you just are this amazing kind of force of inspiration and just this just amazing force of energy. And I love it. So thank you for inspiring me as a mom of a kiddo on the spectrum. And thank you for inspiring so many that are watching and listening today. And just thank you for all that you're doing.
Totally. So great to be here. Thank you for all you're doing. Such great resources y'all offer. If you're watching this video, it's because you're an awesome parent or autistic support person. Like, if you're here, it's because you obviously care enough to educate yourself and support that autistic person in your life. or if you are autistic, that you're taking life by the reins. And, that's the first step, and that's all that really matters.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Joe. And just thank you to everyone that's watching. And remember, you know, everything that Joe was saying, you can't put shame on yourself. You're doing the best you can. And we're all just trying to live in this world and be the best versions of ourselves. So until next time, bye, guys.